Welcome to our reflections for this weekend. In last week's Welcome and Resources, I shared that St. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians would accompany us through the next 5 weeks or so. And that reading is up in the resources for this week. And the questions for our reflections this weekend and all the prayers are with that letter in mind. Nevertheless, each Sunday offers us 4 readings if we include the psalm. And I wish this week to focus on Deuteronomy chapter 34 and the first 12 verses, which is there for you on audio to listen to along with St. Paul. If there's one thing that forms a link between these two readings, it is that both speak about leadership. Moses and Joshua, and then also Paul with Silvanus and Timothy. And were you or I to look at the gospel for today, there Jesus' ministry or calling is questioned. And with all these, I could not help but remind myself and you now of this quote from Mother Teresa. God has not called me to be successful. God has called me to be faithful. And so now may I speak in the name of the living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I don't often use the style of preaching where I work systematically through the text, but I will today. So Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 1. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him the whole land. There is here a parallel with the temptations of Jesus. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor, and said to him, "All these I will give you." The parallel, the use of language, the similarity of it is uncanny. See how very close deceit can be to truth. Verse 4, "This is the land I swore to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants." It invites the question for us, in this country, in this city, in altogether new dimensions, where is home? Where is Heimat? Most of the members of St. Catherine's are migrants. The definition in simplest form being that being born and living and one day dying are not in the same country. And migration was how the world was first populated all over, and why we all in our DNA have a percent or two or three that can hardly be explained by our family tree. The Bible offers us no end of such narratives. Not only Abraham and Sarah were migrants, also Naomi and in turn her daughter-in-law Ruth, to name but 2 different centuries. And then we can in parallel add the migration which we would now term as refugee or asylum seeking. Though in biblical accounts, the word exile was more in use. But again, in its simplest form, the reasons for such migration is more stark, usually violence in some form. And the difference between migrants and refugees is perhaps the matter of choice. And at St. Catherine's, we have both types of people, and even the Germans among us may have migrated internally because of work, being available, being unavailable, or elsewhere. And then verse 8, the Israelites wept for Moses in the plains of Moab for 30 days, and then the period of mourning for Moses was ended. It seems extraordinary that grief can be defined in such a prescriptive way. It seems a little harsh. And yet, in Western culture, we often expect people to move on once the funeral has been held. And that is harsh indeed, not to say unrealistic. And the can of worms for adding to distress instead of emotional and mental well-being. I would ordinarily have let this little verse go, but with COVID-19, grief and bereavement have taken on, in quantity and quality, shapes and forms which are for us still at the moment incomprehensible. Burials without funeral, or whatever cultural expressions of farewell and thanks for a life lived, even if it has been cut short. Also grief which has become very public. Also grief that now has a new value system attached to it, which is cruel. How can one person say, my grief is greater than yours? Because what? I've lost more relatives. I wasn't with that cousin when she died. My mother was younger than yours. Such emerging thinking has laid bare and made public the question how we as individuals and cultures and religions value human life. And at some point, when not everything is so raw, we will need to look at that in alignment with what Scripture says about the value and the dignity of human life, of all human life. And then verse 9, Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, because Moses had laid his hands on him, and the Israelites obeyed him, doing as the Lord had commanded Moses. Wisdom here spoken of as bestowed by a kind of ordination, certainly an anointing, a commissioning. The result of that wisdom, or the fruit, if you like, is that it is recognized and responded to. How do we know that? Because the people obeyed Joshua, continuing the work that had begun with Moses. So wisdom as bestowed. But we also know that wisdom is accumulated over the years. It is more than life experience, but not unrelated to it. And we remember also from places in Scripture, like the Proverbs, that wisdom is to be sought. But that's a whole other sermon or Bible study. There's one more twist to this bit on wisdom I wish to throw in. I have no answer, and I'm not convinced there is one, but did Moses anoint Joshua because he recognized God's wisdom in him? Or did Joshua receive God's wisdom in this anointing in order to be able to do the tasks that would be demanded of him as Moses' successor? Thoughts on a postcard by all means. And then from verse 10, never since has there arisen a prophet in Israel like Moses? This is another little seed, easy to miss. Moses, we know, as a liberator, as a leader, but as a prophet. So here too is another sermon or Bible study waiting for us. Continuing from that verse and about Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And here we are going back to the mountain, of course. And yet in a culture and a theological understanding that rested on, if you see God, you will surely die. If you want to find where that is, look at the last verses of Exodus chapter 33. We have an exception to that thinking here. And it's hinted at also in the priestly blessing in the book of Numbers. The Lord make his face shine upon you. So Moses as prophet, Moses as priestly, these are new understandings. And this exceptional snippet of seeing God face to face and not only live, but be blessed, is rich ground for reflection. Brought sharply into our time and place, as in these days, when human face-to-face was denied in lockdown, repeated in new lockdowns, and compromised with mask wearing. And then finally, from verse 11, he, Moses, was unequaled for all the signs and wonders that the Lord sent him to perform in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh and all his servants and his entire land, and for all the mighty deeds and all the terrifying displays of power that Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. Miracles and powers in the lifetime of Moses take us to those well-known stories of the encounters and power struggles with Pharaoh for the freedom of the Israelites, but also the later provision in the wilderness of food and of water. But the language here implies that there was perhaps much more that was simply too much to keep a record of. And we are where we began, in the parallels with Jesus. That was certainly true for him also. So much to take in on this tour through this passage of scripture. Please take from it whatever by God's Spirit speaks to you at this point in your life and your journey. Amen.